Amen. Happy Friday in April. We're making our way towards May. We're going to get there. What do they say? April showers bring. It's coming. It's coming. Hey, we got some visitors today, some juniors in high school. Yes. We are sure glad you're here, and we say we want you here in a couple years. We want you here because in the next couple years, seniors are going to be moving on, like Travis. Juniors will be moving on, great people, and we need to reload with great folks. So we're hopefully to see you here in a couple years. And sophomores, yep, they're going to leave too someday, and freshmen. Hey, we need you here because we have folks like Travis, all the seniors. How many seniors we got here today? All right. They're going to be moving on, and we need to, again, replace them. Travis is part of, does that sound bad? We got to replace them? I don't want to get distracted. All right. So, Travis is part of a group of seniors, six seniors, who we have called to be senior witnesses throughout this semester. And Travis is the fifth of six seniors. Travis Dean Gibson is going to be our speaker today.
Gibbons.
Oh my gosh. Travis Dean Gibbons, I know all the students so well here, is going to be our speaker. From Fowlerville, what else do I need to know, Trav, before I mess it up?
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. All right. I'm going to pray. Pray with me. Lord, thank you that you know our names, even when we forget each other's names. Thank you, Lord, that you know us, that you love us deeply. And thank you, Lord, for the work you've been doing in Travis's life over these past 4 years. Now, Lord, give him the confidence to speak to us, that we may hear you speaking to us through Travis. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Travis Dean Gibbons.
In the middle of a late summer day, on a park bench in the center of a college town, sat an 18-year-old young man. There was nothing special about this young man, nothing that stood out, nothing that set him apart from his peers, which was actually something he prided himself in, and exactly what he desired. To fit in, to be liked, to be normal. The only problem with this point in time was that there was something different about him, something he was so desperately trying to hide. Not only was it his puffy red eyes, which were the result of a failing effort to hold back the tears that were currently running slowly down his face, but it was anger, fear, and pain, which were beginning to overwhelm him, wrapping him up in a thick cloud of unknown. These feelings were the result of a life-changing event that came to pass just moments prior to this park bench experience. This event was a moment in this young man's life, shaking his world so violently that upon the conclusion of the shake, he opened his eyes to find himself on a completely new, unfamiliar path, a path that would lead him on an unexpected journey of discovery over the next 4 years. Although that park bench experience was the lowest point in his life to date, what he didn't know was that park bench, which was his best attempt to escape the freshman orientation chaos, to be alone in an unfamiliar place, would be the exact place he would return to look and find inspiration to write his senior witness, a witness of how God had walked with him, guiding his steps on a life-changing journey of discovery. If you haven't guessed, the young man sitting on that bench was me. The journey I was about to begin was a journey of discovering myself through discovering God. It's the embodiment of two small verses coming to life and taking root in my heart. Colossians 3:3 tells us that we have died, and our lives are now hidden with Christ and God. And in John 14:21, Jesus says, "Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." My journey is a story about God showing himself to me through loving him and in turn finding myself. Until that point in my journey, I had some ideas of who I was and certain expectations of what my 4 years of college would look like. But those ideas and expectations were now broken and lost within the ruins of my earthquake. Up until that point, soccer had been my life. It was what I knew about myself since I was 6 years old. It was the foundation of my identity, self-worth, and pride. At the time, I had no idea how wobbly and insecure that foundation was. It was not something I expected to collapse as easily as it did when I came to college. In fact, it was something I expected to last and grow. This was the very reason, after a long, hot week of soccer tryouts, the words out of the coach's mouth telling me that I didn't make the team didn't just feel like a wrecking ball swinging with full force at the foundation of my identity, but it felt like a sharp dagger piercing the very core of my being. Not making the soccer team at Hope before my freshman year even began cut me so deeply that I had no choice but to escape to a solitary place where no one could see the fresh wound that was beginning to form in my heart. The wound was so deep that it would take many steps along my journey to heal, a journey that would begin on that very bench. The first step of my journey was getting up off the bench. Getting up meant walking into the thick cloud of unknown that had enclosed around me, admitting what had just happened, realizing the impact that it would have, and recognizing the new opportunities it could create. It was a terrifying first step, but one that was well taken, only with the help of God. I had no idea at the time, but God was there, gently leading me through the cloud as I left. Within hours, I met the people that would soon become my best friends, my community, and a huge part of my journey. They would be the ones to walk with me in growth, talk with me in frustration, cry with me in pain, and laugh with me in celebration. Friendships that now mean so much to me that I can't express the love I have for them in words, friends that I call brothers. Getting up also meant attending orientation. Being silly and obnoxious while playing ridiculous icebreakers opened my eyes for the first time as to who I was without soccer, pushing the pain away from the center of focus where the healing process could begin. The next and very pivotal step in my journey occurred early into my second semester as a freshman. Another quake hit, sending ripples racing through the landscape of my life, leaving me with what seemed like only one sensible option. This time, instead of finding myself at a park bench, due to the cruel mid-February West Michigan weather, I found myself inside at my first gathering. Earlier that Sunday, I received an email informing me that two Hope students had died in a plane crash. One of them was a friend of mine, David. David, whom I had met through soccer tryouts, was a great man and someone I looked up to. We shared a bond through the mutual disappointment of not making the team, and he quickly became part of my healing process when he often invited me to play soccer with him and his friends. The only way I knew how to deal with the state of shock and confusion the loss of David left me in was to attend a gathering. In order to understand why this was the first gathering I attended and why it was a pivotal step in my journey, I need to give some background information. Up until that point, even though I had grown up in going to church, my faith had essentially been non-existent. As I grew up, I gradually became to dislike the church. I dreaded the hour of so-called worship that my parents made me attend every Sunday. To me, it was dull, dry, and lifeless. An hour I spent daydreaming, counting the tiles on the ceiling, and guessing how much time was left before I could have a donut. By the time I was a senior in high school, I had no desire to ponder the deep mysteries of who God is, what faith is, and the importance of the church. Faith played no role in my college decision. I came to Hope to play soccer. Until the Sunday David died, I chose not to participate in any spiritual activities on campus because I didn't have to, and I didn't want to. I was sick of the church. But that Sunday, something happened that could only be explained by the love of God. Although I had been to church many times, my first gathering was an experience unlike any other. In a moment with the chapel filled with praise to God, I was in a state of complete and utter confusion, as if I was on a roller coaster, moving faster than I was able to interpret what was going on around me. I thought to myself, why could we be praising a God that would allow a man to be taken from our community? Why would God do that? I don't understand. At the same time, I felt overwhelming peace. In a moment of absolute despair, I felt as if I was being wrapped up in a warm, soft blanket of hope, peace, and comfort. In that moment, I knew worshiping God was the right and only thing to do. I can't put how I felt into words, but it was the first time my eyes were open to faith and the presence of God in my life. The next and most important step I took was when I found myself on a spring break mission trip to Memphis, praying one small, life-changing prayer. Not fully understanding the significance of my words, I committed my life to Christ. For the first time, I asked God to take my life, all of it. I wanted to be transformed into a life with Christ ruling as Lord over everything. Not completely knowing the power and love of God at that point, I expected my transformation to take time. It was a goal I wanted to achieve, but one I was in no hurry to arrive at. I was wrong. I had no idea how fast God would work. There's still transformation to be done in my life, but I did not expect to be this far along in my transformation today. From that point on, God transformed my life in ways I never dreamed of. Through loving God, I started becoming the man I was created to be. I started to find my life hidden in Christ. I went from not owning a Bible to now leading 2 Bible studies. I went from being a shy, uninvolved student to orientation director, planning a weekend for 900 students and their families. I went from never going on a mission trip to leading one. I went from a homebody who doesn't like change to living and traveling Europe. I went from an engineering major to an exercise science major to a future graduate student in higher education. All of this has been the work of God in my life, and it's safe to say I couldn't have done it on my own. While this transformation was taking place, one of the most important steps in my journey was unfolding, the final step of the healing process. Late into my second semester as a college student, while looking back at all the work God had done in my life, a realization struck me. The transformation was only possible because I was not on the soccer team. Had I been on the team, my community would most likely not be what it is, my friendship with David would not have been possible, and I most likely would not have gone on that mission trip. I realized that not making the team was actually one of the best things that happened to me. Upon this revelation, I decided to thank the soccer coach for cutting me. I had no idea that one small email to the coach would create an offer to become part of the team as manager and eventually a deep relationship that would mean so much to me. Accepting the position as manager was not an easy decision and one I was nervous to accept. But I made the decision after realizing that it could potentially be the way God would use the gift of soccer in my life to glorify. I realized that before I was cut from the team, soccer was a gift that became an idol and a source of pride. Now that I had been transformed by God, the gift of soccer could be used in ways to further the kingdom. Deciding to be manager for the team has been the best decision I've made at Hope, and a huge blessing in my life. I wouldn't trade my position as manager for all the playing time in the world. The relationships that I've built and the memories I've made are some of the most important things I'll take away from my college experience. And it's my hope that I've brought glory to God through my work as manager. This is where I currently am at on my journey, living a transformed and transforming life. I only had time to give you a few stories, but there are many more I could tell you. Many stories of how I allowed God's love to penetrate my heart, opening my eyes to who I am. The great thing about where I am currently at is that, God willing, there will be many more steps in my future. Some will be good, some will be bad, but all will be taken with the help and guidance of God, who is the way and the destination of my journey. At the end of my journey, I will discover God in his fullness and me in my completeness in him. Thanks for listening to my journey. You've all had a role in some way or another, and I thank you for that. Go in peace.